This is Digital Story Podcast number 525, March 29th, 2016. Today's theme is Becoming Software Independent. I'm Derek Story. Aperture, iPhoto, Carousel, and a slew of online apps that are too many to mention. They will not be moving forward into our collective futures. So how does a photographer protect oneself from the seemingly capricious actions of software providers? I'll address that in today's top story. Becoming software independent. This is a phenomenon new to the digital age, right? With film, you get it developed, you store it in a safe place, and you retrieve images as needed. But with software, the game has changed, for sure. You can invest time and money into an application that may be gone tomorrow. So how should you address this issue? And if you would have asked me, 6, 7 years ago, is this a concern? I would say, probably not. I mean, it's possible, but it's not likely. And I think part of my reasoning was based upon Photoshop. I started using Photoshop at version 2.5, which was one of their great releases. Oh, but what a while ago that was, right? And it has continued to evolve and be here, bedrock foundation ever since. And I think because of the history of Photoshop, you just knew it was always going to be there. Then I sort of transferred that thinking to the new things that came along, such as Aperture, such as Lightroom. And then as cloud computing became, you know, more and more prevalent, the new cloud apps that we saw, the storage systems, the, you know, all the neat interaction that you could do, and going, well, you know, they wouldn't be doing it if they didn't really know what they were doing and if they didn't have the funding to continue doing it. So Photoshop, yes, continued to just, you know, not roll along, but definitely march with a, with a release every year, doggone it, whether you needed it or not. But it was there. And Lightroom has continued down that same path as Photoshop Elements too. But that's not quite the case for some of the other applications. And we all know who they are by now. We all know about Aperture. We know about iPhoto. Many of you know about Carousel, which was a Dropbox app, you know, that allowed us, it was a nice interface that allowed us to use Dropbox in a more robust way for photographers. And then there were all the little ones that, you know, I've discussed over recent years. And they've kind of come and gone. Some of the stuff from Google too. Okay. In fact, we're going to talk about some Google stuff here after this story. So then my opinion about, well, you know, software by a major company for photographers may not be here in the future. I have changed my position and I have moved forward accordingly. So what I'm going to talk about right now, I'm going to go over a list of ideas, thinking points, let's call them thinking points, for you to have in your mind as you continue to keep an eye on your photo management system. And these are ideas that won't completely protect you from something going wonky with your software, but certainly would make a transition easier if you needed to do it. So let's get into some of those points. First point I have here is don't give up. Right? I mean, nobody likes disruptive change, it's true. But the potential of change shouldn't dissuade you from using the best software for you that's available right now. So if there's something out there, such as the software by On1, or Exposure X, or, you know, any of the other applications that are really cool, don't be afraid of them. right? Don't be afraid that if you invest time and money in them, that they're automatically going to go away. Just hedge your bets a bit with a little bit of insurance instead. But I really think that, you know, we spend so much time as photographers on the computer, it's really half of the equation, that we really want to have and use software that is best suited to our needs, because those hours, while you do have the software, are very important. And, you know, it's your life, right? It's your life. It's like when you go see a bad movie, you go, man, there's 2 hours I'm never going to get back. And, you know, you're a little frustrated by that. Well, imagine all the hours you spend in front of a computer working on your images in a particular software application. That's a lot more than a bad movie. So you want those hours to be good. You want them to be quality. And you should choose software that works great for you and not be afraid that it may go away someday. Next, create a system independent of the application itself. So what do I mean by that? Well, for example, I do like the managed library approach in Capture One. And maybe it's because I came over from Aputure and that was what I used primarily with Aputure too. Now, I'll talk about reference libraries in a few minutes, but right now I'm just going to focus on this. So I'm going to continue using the managed library approach in Capture One Pro. Because, you know, that's what I was just saying. To my point, that's the way I want to work. And I'm not going to be afraid that Capture One Pro is going to go away someday. And, you know, therefore, I'm not going to use it the way that I want. But Capture One Pro, Aputure, Lightroom, these applications also have the ability to back up your files on import. So, for instance, when I'm sending images into Capture One Pro, I can also be sending the masters somewhere else to an external drive. And I love that system. And that is a system that can be independent of the application that you're using. So if you set up a logical, intelligent backup system that backs up on import, that makes a copy on import, that goes into a year, month, however you organize your structure, then you are basically creating a safety net for that application. Now, we'll talk about the work files later, but in terms of the master files being trapped deep within a database, this approach protects you from that because those same master files are going into a flat file system that you create. That's the way that you want it, and they're not trapped anywhere. They're on an external drive, most likely, that you can easily back up and repurpose if you decide to go to a different application. You just point that application to those files. I love this system, and I highly recommend it because not only do you get that instant backup, you also create a safety net for that application itself. Create 4-star smart albums and export those images as TIFFs, and then catalog them using a similar file folder system that we were just talking about. So the idea here is that, well, not every picture you take is a work of art. Some of your shots are going to be a lot better than others. And in fact, some of them are going to be terrific. And if you do a rating system, and let's just say that 4 stars is your really good image, then you can create a smart album to capture those once a month or so. Export those out as TIFFs, right? Good old TIFFs. We know that that file format's going to be around. And then put them in some sort of system, flat system, like we were talking about earlier, that is easily usable without any software at all. You can just search right on your desktop. Just go right through them and find what you want. Or you could put them in a software application, as long as you keep a set independent of the application itself. Now, the thinking here is those images are baked, right? They're not just your raw files. They're your raw files with your image edits, with your metadata. Everything is there. You bake them as a TIFF, and then you store them somewhere. So if all heck breaks loose, let's say that, you know, your photo management software goes away, you still have, you know, that library, you know, with all your stuff in it and everything, and you could keep an old computer and all that. But as far as your really good shots, those are outside of that application and they're baked. They're in great shape and they're in a non-destructive format. So that is, you know, and that's also a good way to go as a backup too. If you want to just do a simple backup offsite that goes in a safe deposit box or another house or whatever, this is also a good system for that. Because again, it's independent of any proprietary software, being TIFF files. Create a universal referenced file system. So if you're using Lightroom, you know, you have no choice but to go with reference files. There is no library container that holds your masters. But you do have some choice on how that reference file system is managed. And really what you want to do is have something that is logical and that works and makes sense to you independent of Lightroom. Now, Lightroom enters those files into its database and it will keep track of them more or less regardless of what you do. And even if you break the connection, you can reconnect them to the database. And that's one of the wonderful things about a database app, right? Once the app knows where those masters are, it doesn't really care what kind of order they're in or what kind of system, because you can create that virtually within the application. You can use collections and smart collections and all that stuff to, you know, really put these images in any sort of order that you want. You have filters and whatnot. But if for some reason you decide not to use Lightroom anymore, or that choice is taken away from you, then those master files that's been pointing to, how logical of a system are they in right now? In other words, could you make sense of where everything is and open up those files in Bridge or Photoshop or something like that? The point being is that just because you're using a reference file system doesn't mean that you have the best safety net possible. Because if your reference file system isn't organized outside of the application, it's not as useful. Think about that and maybe start working, if you're not already, you may be already on this one. If you're not working in some sort of logical system outside of the application for those master files, that might be an adjustment you want to make. To DNG or not? This is a question where you're going to get a lot of different answers depending on who you ask. The question being, of course, should you convert your RAW files to DNGs, which is open format, open standard, to protect yourself from no longer being able to open those RAW files up the road if the proprietary camera company decides not to support them anymore? Okay. So my answer to that is, for me, I don't do it. I don't like converting to DNG. I think it's a lot of extra work. And even though I know that my software could go away, I just don't feel like that my support for RAW files is also going to go away. So, but you may feel differently about this. And if you do, I don't blame you. You know, so I don't think you're crazy at all. So you may want to convert to DNG. And, you know, the thing about DNG is that the theory is it will always be supported because someone will always be willing to work on it because they can work on it because it's an open standard. They can get to it. So I'm going to leave that one up to you. For me, you know, I am baking my best shots as TIFFs. I have high resolution JPEGs of everything, and I have a fair amount of trust that I'm going to be able to continue to access those RAW files in upcoming years. I'm not going to. As for you, that's between you and your computer. And finally, and this is such a logical one, but I still feel like I need to say it anyway. Create a robust backup and archiving system. Now, I talked about doing backups of RAW files on import, where you send them in two different directions, one into the application and then one into a separate file system. But this is even beyond that, because again, those are just your RAW files. That doesn't include your work. And I did talk about baking your 4-star images as TIFFs. That's another aspect of this. But in the end, you may want to do something where all of your images that are in your photo management system are at least sent out as super high quality JPEGs that can easily be stored somewhere, and do that on a regular basis. Not to mention the regular backing up of your raw files in your catalogs and your libraries and all that stuff. So just as part of this practice, and the reason being, it just gives you more options up the road. It just gives you a bit more protection, not only against your software becoming, you know, obsolete, but just against all sorts of disasters. So at the end of any of these conversations, you always want to have and backup and archive. And if you can, have a set that is physically away from where your original stuff is. If you do some of those things I just talked about, then I think you can continue to enjoy the software you love. Whether it's, you know, the new Bridge with Photoshop, whether it's Lightroom, Capture One Pro, Exposure 10, On One, Photos for OS 10. Whatever you love, use it. Just give yourself a bit of a safety net, because you know what? We have seen that things do change. Photography, to me, should be something that lasts more than 10 years. You know, I want my photography to be around longer than that, at least the shots that I like. The really ugly shots, the really terrible stuff, I'm going to go Brent Weston and I'm going to destroy that before I die. So unless, you know, heaven forbid, I go down in a plane crash or something, I'm getting rid of the bad stuff. I am. And, you know, one other thing that I didn't talk about in this piece is, you know, my idea that I brought up on podcasts before, which I think is a good idea, which is twice a year, make 6 archival prints of your best stuff and then store them in a safe place. And over time, that's going to add up to a lot of prints. And those don't need any devices at all. All you got to do is open up the box and look at them. And so let's say over a 10-year period, that's 120, right? If you're going to do 6 twice a year, that's 120 high-quality archival prints. And, you know, who knows? Maybe I shouldn't leave behind anything more than 120 images. That'd be kind of cool, wouldn't it? Anyway, stuff for you to think about: becoming software independent, taking control of your destiny, being in charge of your photography. And then, you know, what Silicon Valley does, Silicon Valley does. In the news. Well, you know, a lot of stuff is really related this week. We have a very thematic show. Nik Collection, now free from Google. And this is covered by The Digital Story, one of my favorite resources for photography news. The Nik Collection is comprised of 7 desktop plugins that provide a powerful range of photo editing capabilities, from filter applications to improved color correction to retouching and creative effects to image sharpening that brings out all the hidden details to the ability to make adjustments to the color and tonality of images. And now you can download them all for free. And I have a link to the article, which has the download link in the show notes. So yes, the Nik Collection. I love the Nik Collection. To this day, in my opinion, when Nik came out with this collection, and especially Silver Effects Pro and Color Effects Pro, I still think that they are 2 of the best image editing applications to complement your core photo management application that I've ever used. And Silver Effects Pro, I just love, but I tell you, I use Color Effects a lot. And during the heyday of Aputure, when I was using Aputure 3.4 and it had a lot of good built-in tools, and then I had the Nik plugins, I just felt like I could do anything with an image that I wanted with just, you know, that environment. So they are terrific, and they're still terrific. That shows you how good they are. They have really stood up to the test of time. And if you don't have them, you can download them now. They're available for Windows and Mac both. And they're compatible with the Adobe applications. And then if you're still using Aperture, that too. And in the next post, we'll get into what some of our readers and listeners think about that. Member quotes of the week. Intelligent comments from the Digital Story Facebook page. So, in regard to last week's Facebook post, Knit Collection Now Free from Google, we had some terrific comments from our listeners, and I want to share three of them with you right now. Jerry wrote, "Great news, but sadly, if you don't use Adobe software, you're limited to using it with unsupported Aperture on a Mac. It would be nice if they came either as standalone apps or extensions for the Photos app. And personally, I don't see that happening as Google's got such a reputation for killing good software." And Jerry, I love the idea of extensions, editing extensions for the Photos app. Oh my gosh, that would be so cool. But, you know, being standalone apps also would be terrific. So good points that you made there. Bud added, "This is bad news." A great lead, Bud. "In typical Google fashion, I expect the product to die a slow death with non-development and will ultimately be just another example of a failed Google project like other software companies they have purchased. It's a shame as I own the whole suite of Knit products and their U-Point technology is awesome." And it is awesome. I agree with you, Bud, on that. And my gut feeling is that you're right about the future of the Knit suite. And Bill finished up here with, "I think that ultimately this may be bad news. You have to wonder if development will cease." And that's exactly what I'm wondering. So we'll see. Time will tell. If they come out with a new version and they create editing extensions and, you know, all that good stuff, then we can say we were worrying about nothing. And I would love to be wrong on this, but I also personally think this is the end of the Knit suite as we know it. Post your thoughts on our Facebook page. Believe me, I read them, and I love sharing your thoughts here on the podcast. So continue to chat it up, guys and gals, and I'll continue to pull them together and share them on the show here. Ready to photograph Cuba. So I haven't talked about Cuba on the show here for a while. And just to refresh, I went in January 2015, when it was a lot harder to get into Cuba than it is now. And as a result of that trip, I really learned a lot. I went there to learn a lot. I went there to do a Linda title and write an ebook and share my experiences because, you know, I thought this is a great opportunity for the photography community in the U.S. to go and experience something that in a lot of ways, a society that's been frozen in time in terms of evolution because of the embargo and because of the lack of resources. And then to capture how they have creatively and ingeniously solved those problems, it's really something else. I mean, if you've been to Cuba, you know what I mean. It is very impressive as, you know, how they figured out to survive under the circumstances they have over the last 50 years. It's a great photography opportunity. It's visually stunning. The people are great to photograph. The buildings and architecture, they have a strong sense of design, and especially in terms of graphics, a lot of street signs. Everything seems to me, all the signage and everything, all has a flair that you just don't see in a lot of other places. And now you can go there basically unfettered. You can, I think as of May, you will even be able to take a cruise ship to the harbor in Havana. So I have resources for you. I have a free ebook on Rocky Nook, A Photographer's Guide to Cuba. And then I also have my Linda movie on being a photographer in Cuba. I'm talking about going over there as a photographer the way I would talk about going anywhere else in the world as an American photographer or as a European photographer, as a Canadian photographer, and going over there and doing it right, getting good shots and, you know, conducting yourself appropriately. That's what I'm talking about. So at any rate, these resources will really help you with that. And I have links to them all in the show notes. If you're thinking about going over there, take a look at what I have. You know, get prepared. And if you do get to go, have a great time. Absolutely wonderful place to visit. Updates and such. All right, I have a couple things for you. In Aperture Exile, easing the change to capture one. I told you it's a thematic show today, right? So anyway, I'm going to be special guest on upcoming Capture One Pro webinar on April 13th at 9 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time. The webinar is free. It's mainly for people who are contemplating moving from Aperture to Capture One Pro. And I have a link in the show notes. Also, the reservation forms went out to the reserve list for the Eastern Sierra Fall Color Workshop. So if you were on that reserve list, you should have a reservation form in your inbox. A lot of times it doesn't show up. If you're using Gmail, it possibly could be under social instead of in the inbox itself. So at any rate, take a look if you haven't seen it. And if you thought you should get one and you didn't get one, send me email and I'll get you all straightened out. The Eastern Sierra Photography Workshop begins Thursday, October 20th, Thursday evening, and runs through Sunday, October 23rd. If you want to get on the reserve list for round two, if there are still openings, I'll do a round two. We had four bookings already just this weekend when I sent it out. So, you know, who knows, but it can't hurt, right? It can't hurt to get on the round two reserve list. Just go to the Digital Story Workshops page, use the send me info form, and choose the Eastern Sierra Workshop, and I'll get you in that second wave. And finally, make sure you visit our friends over at Red River Paper. They have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. They have a terrific newsletter. And they have a very good Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. And lots going on at their Facebook page. They give away free paper. On their website, in addition to the fantastic array of inkjet printing paper that they have, they also have tutorials. They also have supplies for your printer. They also have envelopes. They have glassine sleeves. They have all sorts of stuff. Anything that you really need to help you with your printing, chances are very good that they're going to have it. Our longest running sponsor of the Digital Story, Red River Paper, a tile on all the pages. Go over there and take a look. Make something beautiful. Create some art. Complete the cycle, right? You take the picture, you edit the picture, print the picture, complete the cycle, and create some artwork that you can share with others. All right, that's going to do it for me. Very thematic show today, right? I think Google started it all for me giving away the Nick Suite, and then that just snowballed into all these other topics. A lot of fun. I'm working on some great stuff for next week. Please come back and join me. I just love sharing this time with you every week. Until then, take some great shots. Bye-bye now.